Block's mission is to help mompreneurs worldwide do two things successfully: own profitable businesses while putting their families first. If you're a mompreneur in business already, or just contemplating if launching a business is your next step, the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem Show is made just for you. Host Sina Block is an ex-corporate success story of a self-made mom entrepreneur who started her business, SaneSpaces.com, while working part-time around her young kids' busy schedules. Known as the Mompreneur Mentor, Sina Block founded SaneSpaces.com to empower mompreneurs to leverage their talents into successful income-generating businesses in the time they wish to devote to working. Stop trying to do it all yourself. If you desire the freedom to work on your own terms, be fully present with your kids, avoid overwhelm, and make money while the kids are at school, SaneSpaces.com provides programs and the step-by-step guidance you need to make your work-at-home business a success. Struggling with a mompreneur challenge? Call in live on Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and get personal coaching from Sina. 646-595-3163. And now, it's time for Managing Mompreneur Mayhem with your host, Sina Block.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and this is Sina Block, your host. It's late September, almost October, and we are starting to enjoy the fall colors here up in Northeast Pennsylvania. And Dory, I just want to check in with you, our show producer and Word of Mom founder. How are you?
I'm awesome, enjoying the fall air. I was out this morning with my cup of tea and just sitting in the underneath the grapevine and just enjoying the change of seasons. You know, one of my favorite lines from the movie A Beautiful Mind is when he hands this girl this prism and all the lights, all the colors are there, and she said, God must be a painter, because why else would he have created so many beautiful colors? And that's what I feel like fall is. You know, it's like, yeah, God's canvas.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a nice thought too, because boy, oh boy, it's just starting down here in PA. Is it, are you, I don't even know where you are now. Are you in upstate New York?
No, I'm in Ardsley. I'm in Westchester County, actually settling in here for a while. So
okay.
Down here in Westchester County, but I go back and forth because my, you know, two of my three children are still in Connecticut, and I have one daughter that's, you know, backpacking across the West Coast. So she definitely has mommy's wanderlust gypsy soul. I'm glad I passed it on to my daughter. It's more fun.
Yeah, you'll learn. You'll hear more about it probably, right? Well, today we are talking about self-care secrets to mompreneur success. And I've been kind of, we've had a very busy September, back-to-school stuff and sending our firstborn off to college. And both my husband and I have private businesses, and he has a corporate job, and blah, blah, blah. Off we go with lots of interests. But one of the things that really I've been really trying to work on with my own coach is self-care, and I notice it so often with the people that I coach is that self-care for mompreneurs is one of those big unsaid deficits. And it's almost as if we have learned how to kind of honor this deficit rather than, you know, do anything about it. We kind of think that it's okay. We've said it's okay to have no time for ourselves. We've said somehow that it's okay to, you know, be so stressed out that you can't think. You know, people use the word crazy busy and everything else, and I'm certainly guilty of that myself. But one of the things that I think is really, you know, a constant juggling / balancing act for mompreneurs is trying to get your secret formula for self-care in check so that you have enough energy, resilience, vitality to give to other people, not just yourself, but your family and your business. And it is, we tend to approach this as mompreneurs as an upside-down triangle versus a right-side-up triangle, making it strong and spending more of our time on self-care than not. You know what I mean about the upside-down triangle? If you keep self-care as the last thing on your list, there's not enough for you to balance everything else. And I like to use the metaphor, and I may have used it on the show before, but I like to use the metaphor of a fountain. One of my friends taught me this. And, you know, basically, a fountain often works because it's constantly pouring water from the top down into the other parts of the fountain. So it doesn't matter if it's a spraying fountain or if it's just a trickling fountain or, you know, a feng shui fountain. The way it works is that it constantly regenerates itself so that it has more water to pour into the other parts of the vessel. So really importantly, we need to think about ourselves in that same way, because when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so that's what my husband says around here, which is hysterical. But, you know, I think also as women, we have become a lot less sensitized to the fact that, you know, I think seasonally, cyclically, we are much more oriented as female energies in this world. We're much more susceptible to what's going on, I think, environmentally, energetically around us, you know, to any kind of toxicity and so forth. And I think that it's a strength and it's a beauty. We've kind of had to shut a lot of that openness down to survive in a man's world, but I believe the energies are shifting, and I really, the older I get and the more my business is building and the more successful I'm getting, the more I realize how important these self-care strategies are as a bottom line, no longer as a nice to have, which is how I used to think of them. You know, I grew up with a mom who was a farmer who grew up through the Depression, and, you know, her modus operandi, her winning formula was work hard, work hard, work hard, and you'll be rewarded. You know, she had a lot of other wonderful things and wonderful qualities, but that was pretty much my mantra. You know, the harder I work, the more rewarded I will be. And I don't know that I believe that anymore. I think my 85-year-old mom would probably have an argument with me about this at this point, but it is true. I don't know that I believe the whole adage that the harder you work, the more successful you are. I think that there comes a point where you have to create a sanity strategy in your life that is both fulfilling, satisfying, compassionate, and gives you space for living a joyful life. And that's not always about work. You know, when your work is meaningful, it's much easier to access that. But sometimes, you know, work is just work. So
right.
let's start talking about this whole idea of self-care. And I first want to start with the feelings that people often associate with a gap in self-care. So, you know, if you're listening to this program and you're feeling overwhelmed, lethargic, you're feeling maybe bitterness, resentment, maybe you're exhausted a lot, maybe you're feeling a little lazy, or perhaps you're procrastinating often. Maybe you're even feeling like going through the motions, or for some of us, you know, it really affects how we feel in terms of our mojo and our sexiness. If you're feeling unsexy and not really good about yourself, some of those symptoms, although they can be indicative of other things, have a lot to do with a gap in putting yourself first, in self-care. You know, when we connect to this fountain of well-being and create a place for well-being in ourselves, there's so much more to go around. And we need to really focus in on allowing space to make this happen in our lives. I was looking up some quotes when I was prepping for this show, and one of the quotes is, "Allow yourself to be human, flaws and all. Permission to feel every emotion, to take a break, to say no, and to say yes when you really want to." And another one that I want to also say, that was an anonymous quote. Another one is from Mahatma Gandhi, and that is, "A no uttered from the deepest conviction is greater than a yes merely uttered to please, or what is worse, to avoid trouble." So, you know, there's a lot of, I think I've seen that Steve Jobs quote about saying no. You know, is so often, because it's often in that, we're in that mode of saying yes to everybody all the time and accommodating all the time, often as moms, often as women, and sometimes as business owners, especially if we're in that kind of desperate space of needing business. You know, we'll say yes to opportunities simply because they have a price tag or a paycheck associated with them, but they may not be anything to do with the business that we're trying to develop or run. And it's a hard thing, because when you truly jump away from a paycheck and you're 100% accountable for your own financial well-being, and everything you do has either a cost or a payoff associated with it in real dollars, right? It's tough. It is tough as a business owner to say no to business opportunities if they're, you know, when they're standing dangling in your face. And this happened to me over and over again as I was shifting my business model. You know, I started Sane Spaces as an organizer, and I was getting lots and lots of business in the chronically disorganized populations and in the hoarding populations, and it was really hard. I wasn't set up for it, and I certainly didn't expect it when I went into the business. And so, you know, just about the time, about 4 years into it, when I was when all the marketing I had already done was really starting to pay off, you know, and I was really starting to get calls and have throughput and lots of activity and energy in the organizing camp, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work with this group. So I had to literally, I mean, my analogy with that old business model was I felt like I had to kind of strangle it and like blow it up so that I could make room for the new rendition of Sane Spaces, which is focused on coaching and mentoring and helping people to systematize their business and not focusing on the spaces and environments. So, but had I not said no, right? Had I gone after the dollars that were showing up and all the offers that were showing up, I never would have had space to create the time and space style inventory. I never would have had the time and the effort to create my coaching programs for mompreneurs. I never would have moved in this direction. There just was no bandwidth. So saying no is huge, clearly. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about what happens with this whole thing with self-care. When we are in a gap in self-care, when we are feeling bad, like those feelings that I was listing earlier on, procrastinating, exhaustion, resentment, bitter, what happens literally is our brain starts to react to those emotions, and we go into a survival mode. You know, some people call it the reptilian brain, but we go into this fight or flight mode, and our perspective.
Where'd you go? Where did I go?
And options. We go into, I need to survive, and I'm just going to keep on going. You know, and I've seen this happen over and over again, most recently with my sister, who continues to work so hard. She, you know, she has different sicknesses, and before she, you know, makes the changes that she needs to make, she's in the hospital or the emergency room, or she has an accident. There's some big catastrophic thing for her to, like, pay attention to. And I mean, we're from the same, cut from the same cloth, so I really understand it. And I've been so hard.
Okay, I don't know if it's my phone or Sina's phone that keeps cutting out. Sina, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, because your phone cut out.
I'm not sure why.
I'm not sure why either. So do me a favor, and just for my own edification, say again, your sister, you were saying you were cut from the same cloth, and then it went out.
Okay. Sure. Can you hear me now?
I hear you fine.
Okay. I was just saying that when you're in that survival mode of fight or flight, your perspective narrows. And it that happens when you're feeling these negative negative ways about your work. you know, when we're so busy, stuck in the doing part, we cannot seem to get perspective to get into the being part of who we are. And, you know, we are human beings, not human doings, even though, you know, the last 15, 20 years may have us feeling differently. But, you know, there sometimes people need to create self-care patterns, but sometimes, you know, a little perspective will help. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between stress and self-care, stress management and self-care. We have an environment that we live in that is constantly on. At any moment in time, any time of the day, we can plug into the world. The electronic universe, the internet has allowed us to stay up all night and be social with people and so forth. I mean, there was a time that I remember as a kid that TV station stopped broadcasting in the middle of the night.
Right.
If you were up late, you know, I remember babysitting, and when I would babysit for families, the TV, if the family was out late, the TV would just go on to that, you know, burp, the TV broadcast would shut down. Not anymore. Man, we can get thousands of stations from all around the world. But the idea between stress and self-care, stress management and self-care, there's a different definition. So let's take a look at them. Stress management is defined as the way of dealing with or coping with the negative effects of stress we confront in our lives. We often think of stress management as techniques, so things that we need to relieve stress. Self-care, on the other side, is the ability to proactively enhance our health by building resilience and preventative illness and disease. If it has a whole different focus. If you notice, self-care is all about prevention and about not necessarily techniques, but about ways to live that improve and promote our overall well-being and health. You know, so when you think about self-care, it is really about the day in and day out, creating a basis that we can call upon. And those may include some tactics, but it really includes creating really clear boundaries about what you want and about what well-being means to you in your life. Now, I did some more research about self-care and burnout and satisfaction and stress and all these different things in prepping for this whole show today. But, you know, stress in and of itself, oftentimes if you're dealing with stress, it's kind of a intermittent situational thing. You know, there are certain life stressors that might show up, like say you're moving or you have a death of a spouse or family member. You know, the top 10 life events that cause us the most stress are in this order. First, death of a spouse. Second, divorce. Third, marital separation from your mate. Fourth, detention in jail or other institution. Fifth, death of a close family member. Sixth, personal injury or illness. Seventh, marriage. Eighth, being fired. Ninth, marital reconciliation, and 10th, retirement from work. Those are the top 10, according to the Holmes Raw Life Stress Inventory. Those are the top 10 reasons that people, you know, top scorers. So there's a whole inventory that you can look up online and see where you are and how you add up and all the stress points in your life, because there's a list of 43 that I'm certainly not going to say here on the air. But if you know that you're living through a situation of stress, you go through this life event chart and you give yourself a score, because each one of these life events has a score associated with how, you know, how stressful it actually is. So take a look at that if you know that, you know, you're working through some stuff, and it's really just a way to get perspective, and you can search it and go online if that's something that's interesting to you. But although nothing really can, you know, if you are dealing with heavy-duty stress, nothing's going to replace a clinical assessment. You know, you're going to want to go and seek the help of maybe a therapist or start with your doctor. But pretty much once you figure out whether or not, you know, you're dealing with a stress situation or whether you're dealing with a gap in self-care, there's ways to take a look at how you can help yourself. And one of the top things on any list anywhere when it comes to dealing with stress, the first thing on the list, no matter who you research or who you talk to, has to do with self-care, believe it or not. So now self-care, there are factors that can contribute to stress, obviously things like your personality, whether you're open, whether you have a net of support, your level of, whether you're open to experience, your level of activity, sometimes physical stuff can play in there as well. But self-care is the very first stop on the train to wellness when it comes to getting rid of your stress. There's lots of gurus out there, people who are very famous for writing, and self-care has been something that's been out there for a long time. I mean, if you're one of those people who's attracted to the self-help section of any bookstore, you know, I'm sure, some of the top names in the industry. Anthony Robbins is one of them. There's Cheryl Richardson, who came out with a really popular New York Times bestseller called The Art of Extreme Self-Care. And she has an online course that takes you through how to really shift your perspective there. But Hay House is another publisher that does a lot on self-care and perspective. And there's certainly many, many places to go. I mean, a simple search on the internet will send you in a huge direction if you want resources in that vein, and if you want some guidance and support. But here's what we know about self-care. We know that there are some elements that really will help you. And they have a lot. If you're familiar, are you familiar with the life balance wheel, Dory?
I am not.
Okay.
No,
well,
I am not.
The life balance wheel has a lot to do with the different segments of your life. So if you can picture a circle and split that circle up into little pie pieces or pizza pieces, one of those pieces is physical self-care. And so, you know, in that vein, we're talking about eating regularly, exercising, keeping yourself healthy, taking time off when you're sick, dancing, swimming, doing things you like. It's physical. It's all physical self-care stuff. Then the second piece of pie is all the psychological stuff. Now, the psychological stuff is, you know, kind of reflective, writing in journals, downtime. It has a lot to do with unhooking, doing things that restore you on that sense. There's oftentimes people will, in a psychological self-care, put in reading and activities that fill you back up. The third piece is about emotional self-care. And, you know, emotional self-care, if you're in a big gap here, you know, you may need some help. You may need some help getting perspective on being compassionate with yourself, staying in contact with people, creating lifestyle practices like affirmation and things like acknowledgement and gratitude, staying in contact with people. I remember working with a client once upon a time who had relocated from another country, and she had been in this country trying to run her business for like 5 years and had not been back to her home country to see her aging parents. And, you know, she would talk about it, and she would talk about it, and she would say, I don't have enough money. And it was, like, so intuitively clear to me that she had to go home. Like, she had to go touch base with mom and dad and make sure that they were okay and that she was okay. And we had to make that happen for her because that was the piece that was missing. And, you know, when she did it, she came back and her whole business changed. Like, her whole business exploded. So sometimes these emotional pieces are so deep that you may not even be aware, but you may be hung up in this perspective of, I don't have a choice. And her perspective was largely driven by the fact that she didn't feel like she was making enough money. And so these are, it's complex. It's very, very complex. It's one of those things that people throw around, self-care, you know, well, are you taking time for self-care? Are you taking time for self-care? I really feel the more that I work on my business, work in my business, and the more successful that Sane Spaces has become, it has a huge amount to do with the shift of my own, you know, investment in my own self-care, which it's so anti-intuitive. As I said, you know, I grew up thinking you work harder, you get more. And so it's been a challenge even for myself to uncouple that. But emotional self-care has to do with the emotional piece of who you are. You know, partially do with your sense of humor and finding things that make you laugh. It has to do with taking things in emotionally and also being able to express yourself emotionally. So if you are, you know, a notorious introvert, Dori and I are more extroverted, I know, but if you are an introvert, oftentimes that expression piece needs to find its place. If you're not somebody who enjoys, you know, spouting off on social media or picking up the phone and talking with a friend, you may need to find a way to get your emotional expression out, whether that's through art or journaling or some other way. But emotional self-care is a huge piece of the whole wheel. Okay, another piece that that is a big part of self-care is your spiritual center. Making time for reflection, inspiration, gratitude, you know, letting yourself not be the expert sometimes if you own your business, maybe being filled up by someone else. You know, I'm actually working with a spiritual coach right now who's helping me just focus in on centering and the things that I am not great at, you know, the things that I'm still learning how to do. One of the things that is also a huge part of my background and past is singing and singing in a spiritual setting. So that's, as my life has changed and as I've made different choices and then my kids have grown and our priorities have changed, some of those spiritual practices have fallen away for myself. So when I look down this list of spiritual self-care, there are places where, you know, I definitely feel like I'm, you know, I'm having a gap and I need to re-put those back in, because a lot of that was joyful and it was a way for me to tap into that. Mm-hmm. The next piece on the pie, and there's two more, the next one has to do with your relationship self-care. Now, this can be a primary relationship. It really has to do with the most primary relationships in your life. So if you're married, then this would probably be your relationship with your spouse. If you have kids, it would include your children as well, or your parents. If you're not in a significant relationship with somebody else, or, you know, potentially you're in a serious relationship, it would include those, anybody with whom you are spending time, effort, and energy. So perhaps, you know, if you have a lot of relationships that are in breakdown, if you have a lot of relationships that are not fully self-expressed right now in your life, this could be a gap for you. You know, perhaps it's time for you to take a look at spending some time or effort or energy with some of these people in your life, making time for, you know, I think one of the biggest reasons that Facebook and Google Plus and specifically Facebook and Twitter have become so huge is to fill this gap of relationship. I think that we spend so much time on the go and so much time connected, so much time behind our computers that I honestly feel like the growth of Facebook and these other social medias are, you know, directly related to the fact that we are not creating little neighborhoods and sitting and having coffee with our next door neighbors anymore. Like, that's not as much happening. You know, I grew up in a family where, you know, mom's friends would come over and they'd have coffee several times a week, you know, or they would sit and have a drink before dinner and or play cards on the weekend. And I don't know that a lot of people are doing that necessarily. I believe there's been a fundamental shift, but I also believe that relationships are fundamentally human. I mean, we are not placed on this earth to be alone. So it's important to take a look at that as an aspect of self-care. And sometimes it's just a matter of going and being with people, or better yet, being at cause for that. Have a party. Have people over. Host a dinner party. For a long time, I was involved in several groups with other moms, which, you know, we had a book club and we had a craft. I do scrapping and card making. And we had a mom's night out, and we had, you know, we did a summer vacation, and we did a Christmas party together, and we did a lot of things. You know, once in a while we'd take a field trip to do something fun, like go see a psychic or something, but a lot of things were relationship-oriented, but they built you up. They weren't about work, and I'll tell you what, I learned how to do that after I quit my corporate job, after I stopped working corporate. I really didn't know how to do that because I went right from college to grad school to going right into work as in a corporate setting, and I didn't know how to have these kinds of relationship-oriented things. I had to learn that, and then I also had to be a cause for that, which is a big aha for a lot of people, you know. It doesn't just happen. Those relationships don't just happen. You have to be intentional about creating relationship balance in your life. And that includes an investment of time and effort and energy and love. So the last one on the wheel for self-care is all about your workplace or your profession, your business. And that, you know, these are the little meta things that make a difference. Like if you're working or your business is doing stuff that you hate, like, that's a big gap. That's going to be a hard one to replace if it's, you know, 70% of your life is spent doing something you hate, right? So if you're in that place of trying to balance your workplace and professional care, and I believe a lot of mompreneurs are, you know, very intense with their business because we want to be successful. So I think it's really here for many of us is all about setting really clear boundaries, you know, creating your workspace so that you have boundaries, creating a balance in your workday, creating a routine to your schedule so that you have time for clients, time for you, time for your family, time for downtime. And really importantly, I think it's critical to have some support. It's hard to sustain this mompreneur thing, especially when you don't have anybody else who's doing it around you. If you are, you know, constantly still with people who are either having a corporate job or people who are not employed, I'm sorry, but it's very hard for them to relate to what you're doing. And so you need to surround yourself with workplace professionals who get you and who get what you're trying to do. And sometimes that means joining a mastermind group or a peer support group or even connecting with like-minded people online. This is, I think, one of the beauties of what we have available to us in LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest, because you can jump right into the conversations that you love and people can completely relate with you. So those are the overall pieces of self-care that we're going to talk a little bit more about after our station break. But I think it's about time we hear from our sponsors today. What do you say, Dori?
Absolutely. And our business spotlight, the Tuesday Business Spotlight, is sponsored by Link Vehicle. And, you know, great brands are looking for influential bloggers, and bloggers are always looking for sponsorships. But the Internet's a big place, and there's a lot of noise out there. That's where Link Vehicle comes in. Link Vehicle connects bloggers to major brands through affiliate offers, sponsored posts, infographics, and more. Sign up today and gain access to over 200 affiliate offers handpicked by marketing professionals to perform on blogs just like yours. On top of affiliate offers, Link Vehicle markets your site to nation's leading digital advertisers, matching your site with sponsorship opportunities from these brands, spending top dollars to reach your audience. Realize the potential of your blog by visiting linkvehicle.com today. It's free to join, and you'll always maintain full editorial control. You're already doing the hard part, so let Link Vehicle connect you with the brands that value your voice. And I love that they are our Tuesday Business Spotlight sponsor. And then today's show sponsor itself is Fisco Marketing. So let's hear from Ms. Kemia.
Hi, this is Ms. Kemia, mompreneur and proud sponsor of Word of Mom Radio. I'm a marketing strategist and social media manager at Fisco Marketing, spelled P-H-I-S-C-O. Fisco Marketing is a marketing consulting firm, and we facilitate the growth of small businesses through conventional standard marketing techniques merged with today's latest social media tactics. We provide branding, social media management, event, and content marketing for businesses in search of real, practical-based solutions and ready to manifest exponential growth. If you're lost in a digital space, Fisco Marketing will lead you through the social media terrain with a strategy to build engagement and drive results. For more information on our services, please visit FiscoMarketing.com. Here you will find a blog chock full of do-it-yourself information on all things related to marketing, social media, and the business of being an entrepreneur. Revitalize your marketing strategy and remain head over heels in love with your business. Stop by and say hello at FiscoMarketing.com.
I love that she says that. I always do. You know, to remain head over heels in love with your business. Because let's face it, as mompreneurs, if we're not in love with our business, why are you doing it?
Go back
and get a job. I'm serious.
Yep.
You know, go get a job. If you don't love the business that you do as a mompreneur, you may as well just go. And I don't mean it as a diss. I just mean it practically. If you're not head over heels in love with the business you are creating, whether you're in a, you know, direct marketing company or brick and mortar, or, you know, you and what you do, me and, you know, what I do, I love what I do. If I didn't love what I do, I'd go back to bartending. Are you kidding me? I make great money and I leave my job there. I don't have to worry about anybody coming back or anything else. You know, so that's why I have always loved that. I love that because it's true. And you know what? As moms and mompreneurs, I love what you're sharing today, Sina, because it is the easiest thing in the world to constantly put ourselves on the back shelf. And I joke about us breaking the myths about, you know, moms dabbling in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. But guess what? Every once in a while, you got to go get your nails done.
That's one of the biggest things. Treat yourself, you know.
Exactly. You know, well, I have news for you. With everything that I'm doing right now between the show and a show that I'm assistant directing and stage managing and the social media stuff I'm doing and this and that and blah, 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 Fridays have now become my Sunday.
Okay.
Because I am rehearsals are on Sunday. So I go to church. And then I go to rehearsal until, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Then I'm back at the director's house and we're working on notes. So for the last 3 weeks, the first Friday that I did this, it was just a mental health day. I took a mental health day because I've got 15-hour days going on here.
The second
Friday, I was like, you know, I had a client call in the morning and then I was like, you know, I'm just going to take the rest of the day. And then last Friday that just passed, I realized, you know what, Friday has become Sunday to me because I have to have one day where I do nothing. I'm sorry.
Well, of course.
I don't want to be online. I have to have one day of completely unplugging. And so it is shifted to Friday right now.
And that's good. I'm glad that you've recognized that for yourself because, you know, a lot of people don't. And this, you know, I was speaking about my sister earlier. She, you know, she works in the church, and so her work is on the weekends. And if you are one of those people, you know, if you're a restaurant owner or you do things on the weekends as your job when everybody else is enjoying or taking time off, and if you don't build in some rejuvenation or, you know, why do you think restaurants in Broadway is closed on Monday? They're closed because they need a day off. Even God took a day off, for God's sake. So, you know, if you need a day off, you need to take a day off. Nobody in your self-employed life is going to do that for you. You are. And, you know, do it before it gets too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I have a couple of books before we get back into some of the other practices, but I have a bunch of authors and books that I want to put out there for people if you're interested in really beefing up your self-care. The first one I already mentioned, which is you can look up Cheryl Richardson and The Art of Extreme Self-Care. And, you know, you can get on her email list or you can join her her following, which she's great. She's really attainable. It's not that expensive. Other possibilities are to jump into Hay House Radio. They have all kinds of podcasts, and you can find really great practices in self-care pretty, you know, free or inexpensively. Some other books that I would recommend are Kristen Neff's book called Self-Compassion. She talks about the three components of self-compassion, which is self-kindness, being gentle with yourself. The second is recognition that you're human, you know, and being completely human also includes the bad stuff, meaning suffering, feeling isolation, feeling, you know, experiencing sadness. And then, you know, the third part that she talks about in self-compassion is all about mindfulness. And mindfulness is about being aware and really not living in this over-exaggerated mode, this constant reaction of being exaggerated. You know, this has been really interesting for me. I had I don't know if you remember last summer, Dori, I had an accident. I missed the last stair, and I fell with a big bouquet in my hands, and I smashed the bouquet vase over my hand, and it literally almost severed my finger completely off. And I remember I had been really working last year on mindfulness and meditation and so forth, and I remember, like, reacting. My husband will tell me, you know, every time I looked at him, like, I'm going to faint. You know, he makes a big joke about it now because it was, you know, funny in that way. And I thought my Spanx were showing under my mini dress and everything. So it was funny, but, I mean, obviously a trauma reaction. But when we were sitting in the emergency room, I remember, like, doing my meditation and really evaluating my pain level. Like, when they asked me, you know, oh, my gosh, because it was gross and it was, like, almost severed off and it was just awful. And I remember looking at it going, okay, I've given birth twice to two children with no pain, like, no pain meds. That hurt a lot more than this. You know, I had spinal surgery once where I was in constant pain with a burst disc in my neck, and I was never out of pain for like 2.5 weeks. That hurt a lot more than this severed finger. So I remember looking at it and, like, giving myself this experience of not exaggerating it. You know, like, I come from a family that has really big personalities, and we love to exaggerate because we're storytellers and it makes us very fun and entertaining. But this whole thing is kind of like, when you live in this constant exaggerated state, it's very hard to get a grip and normalize your behavior. So I love that piece of Kristen Neff's book called Self-Compassion, which is just, you know, mindfulness means, you know, what's really going on? Let's take a reality check here and see where we are.
Well, I'm going to throw something in there, though, Sina. As far as your pain level with a finger, your nerve endings are in your hands and your feet. So that's why a broken finger will throw a 350-pound man to his knees, whereas he could break his leg, be in pain.
Mm.
So I'm just going to let you know that, yeah,
okay.
I'm sure the fact that it was gross and everything else, but your level of pain, your nerve endings are there. So you were severing nerves, dude. Okay?
Yeah.
It's painful.
Yeah, that's for sure. It is painful. Yeah. It is. But, you know, it was not as painful as those other experiences. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, interesting. It also, you know, they were at a different time in my life when I was much more reactive to pain. So it's interesting to see. I'm not saying that you can get unreactive to pain, but there is a level of mindfulness that you can get to that manages reactivity.
No doubt.
Yeah. Okay, another one that I want to give people is Tara Brock's book called Radical Acceptance. And it's really about compassion for ourselves it doesn't release us from responsibility, but it releases us from loathing and self-hatred that actually gets in our way of responding responsibly. So mm-hmm. radical acceptance helps us stay present and mindful. And then, you know, there's a lot of gurus out there. Tony Robbins is a big one. Who else? Oh, Stephen Covey. His book in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, there's really good stuff in there. Dale Carnegie, John Maxwell, Bob Proctor, Napoleon Hill, Eckhart Tolle. All of these people are writers in the area of self-acceptance and self-help. Another really great resource if you're working through some of this self-care, where you can find a whole bunch of self-assessment checklists and so forth, is the University of Buffalo, believe it or not. One of my brothers went there, but they have a whole piece on all of these self-care assessments. So if you're struggling with stress or stress symptoms, or if you're in the helping field and you want to figure out where you are on this on these scales, or that one that I told you about, the life stress inventory, they have a whole bunch of links there, and it's pretty rich if you're into self-assessment, as you know I am. So anyway, before we end the show, I want to make sure that I give people some really powerful strategies, and I have 14 of them for self-care that I would recommend you do. And these are baby steps, you know. I mean, whenever you're starting some kind of new practices, the first thing is, like, just accept that you're probably not going to go full tilt. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to need to take it easy. So just set your expectations, you know, that you can try some of these things and focus in on one or two and make changes gradually, so that it's not, you know, all or nothing, and you don't slip into that self-loathing vortex. So give yourself permission, you know, to take care of yourself. That's the first thing. Giving yourself permission to focus on you is huge. If you have guilt when you think about taking a day off, or your sanity day that you were talking about, Dory, or, you know, getting a massage, or taking time to read a book or go for a walk, if you're hooked into that pattern of, oh, I can't because I'm too busy, oh, I can't because, you might need to just give yourself permission. And sometimes that means writing things out and reminding yourself, like, put a little card. I give myself permission to be happy, be healthy, eat green, whatever you're going to put on there, but give yourself permission and write yourself a permission slip. That's something I learned from Brené Brown's class that I took online. And, you know, she's a big guru who's done a whole bunch of work in shame. And she started, she's a scholar, she's an academic, so she started this process of giving yourself permission slips. And she writes herself permission slips to do things, and she keeps them in her pocket so that she has her own permission. I love that idea. So give
Mommy
yourself permission.
Said I can
first.
Do this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I got to tell you, you know, so many people that I work with have that mentality that they can't, because they were taught, or because they've taken it on of being a good girl. You know, I fought that every time when my mom would tell me to be a good girl. Like, I don't want to be a good girl. But, you know, I was a little bit of a rebel. Still am. Okay, these are the strategies. First of all, give yourself permission. Second of all, eat well. Ha! Eat clean and green. Put into your body the things that make you feel like you love yourself. Fully nourish yourself. Make nice foods. Eat fresh. Drink green juice. Give yourself life-sustaining, macrobiotically enzyme-rich foods that are grown in the earth. Eat well. That's a huge process and a huge commitment. I made a shift in my own family about 4 years ago to go organic as much as we could and make regular healthy eating a part of our life. I did research into where our foods came from. We joined a co-op, an organic co-op, and other things. But once I really started to research our foods and see how many toxins and crap we're exposed to in our food system and how so much food is processed now, it really, really made me sick. It turned my stomach. And it's one of the things that it actually scared me. It scared me very, very, on a very deep level, that so much of our food that we take in now is, you know, not healthfully grown, full of toxins and not good for us. And I believe it's why people are getting sicker and so many people are not able to fight off disease. So that's my first one about self-care. Number two, move. Get up and move. Exercise. Do something that helps you work on your core, work on your cardio, work on resistance, build your immune system, work on something that allows you physical expression of in some way. Walk, run, sit-ups, core, back, I don't care what you do, but you need to put movement in every day. I don't know, sometimes, Dory, when we start our show, you'll hear my computer go, it's 1 o'clock, right? As soon as we start. I set that thing on my computer so that it tells me every hour so that I can get up out of my booty, out of my seat, and start doing something, because I can get very focused on, you know, the stuff that I'm working on my computer or doing blog posts or writing or creating courses or whatever. So get up and move is number two. Number three, something I've been working on quite a bit this September for some reason, make sleep a priority. We tend to stay up late in my family, in my household, and the difference between a good night's rest and a full sleep and not is huge. My entire day is upset. It's gotten more noticeable as I've gotten older, but I also don't do things that I used to do, like take a lot of caffeine or whatever to make up for it. Sleeping allows us to repair our tissues. It allows our brain to go into dream mode. We build metabolizing hormones when we sleep. Our brains do a lot of work while we're sleeping. If we're not creating that space of sleeping and downtime and really unconscious time, you're depriving yourself every single day. So sleep needs to be a priority, and it's the one gap that, you know, I know that we work on here in our house all the time. It's so easy to stay connected. It's hard to unplug. Okay, number four, breathing and meditation. Whether you focus your breathing in yoga or some kind of restorative breathing techniques, meditation will help. Yoga and meditation are so easily available and easily accessible now through YouTube and other venues that give it a try. Go on the Oprah and Deepak Chopra website and join up with some of their 21-day challenges or their 21-day meditations. They run, obviously, for 3 full weeks. You get a meditation a day. They're easy. They're beautiful. They're less than 15 minutes. And if you're just getting started, they're really low-hanging fruit ways to do it, and check it out and see if it's going to work for you. But it enhances your body. It allows you to deal with stress very easily, differently than reacting all the time. Number five, ban electronics at least 1 hour daily. Turn them off, unplug, get away, shut it down, stop accessing it, put it off. Turn off your phone, turn off your computer, or get away from it. Turn off the TV, turn off anything that is social, and get away from it for at least an hour a day. If you look at yourself 10 years ago and look at yourself now, how much downtime you were able to access without all of the social connectivity that we have today, you were probably more satisfied and less stressed, because every time you access that stuff, you key your brain into reactivity. So I say, put it down for an hour of conscious time a day, like when you're awake, not just when you're asleep, when you're awake and you want to do something, like even if it's to sit down and have dinner or supper with your family, to get them away from the table, or if it's a nighttime routine, turn it off. See if you can do it for 1 week, 1 hour a day for 1 week, and see what happens for you. Number six, do something you enjoy daily. Really enjoy. Like, I don't know, whatever it is that you're into, do it. I think this summer was so fun because my son and I went up to a camp in the Adirondacks with my sister who invited us. But I got to do really things that I really loved and really enjoyed. One of the things that I did was I took a watercolor class every day. I did yoga every day. I wasn't really working, so that was nice to be on vacation, but there were things I did that were so 100% restorative, and I forget how much I love doing that stuff. So even if it seems like another thing on your list, do something you enjoy, and it shifts your perspective. Number seven, along with the eating line, sometimes changing the way you supplement your health, like maybe taking probiotics, juicing, omega-3s, stuff that enhances your macronutrient uptake will be helpful. If you're into supplements or juicing, those are things that can really affect how you feel, especially your sense of vitality and your ability to fight off illness and disease. Number eight, not just move, but get outside. Walk, play, experience nature. Get yourself out in the world. I have a friend who one time posted on Facebook, it snowed and I went outside barefoot just because I wanted to feel what it was like on my skin. And the being out in nature is huge. You know, we've cushioned ourselves from all that is natural, but being in nature is really important. Last night I put dinner on the table and my son and I, and I looked out the window and there was this glorious sunset, but I could only see it through the woods because we have a pretty, big wooded lot. So we went running over and running over to the lake so that we could watch the sunset. I'm like, come on, Jason. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we're going to miss it if we don't run. But just seeing the nature and just seeing that sunset was just so beautiful. Number nine, make time to be alone. Yep, alone. Take some time down. This is hard for moms. We're on all the time. We're with people all the time. So make time to be alone is a big help. If you just want to stay in bed all day one day or get in the bathtub, but make time to be alone so that you actually have some time to yourself. Number 10, develop a gratitude practice. Beginning every day with affirmation and intention is so powerful. Waking up and saying, today I will, whatever your intention is going to be, write down three things you're grateful for daily. Reflect on what's meaningful to you. Start journaling. I've just started with this journaling situation for myself, and it's something new for me to do it consistently, but it's neat, and I focus on gratitude. Number 11, live in the present moment. Stop, get off that reaction conveyor belt of he said, she said, or what do you think this means? Just be present. And if you need help, check out Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. Number 12, forgive yourself. Sometimes self-awareness and self-acceptance has to do with forgiving some stuff that you've been holding on to for a long time, even if it's really old emotions. So if that's a bad decision you made or something that's in your way or things that you've not moved on from, perhaps you need to start forgiveness of yourself. Number 13, trust your intuition. Your intuition is there and is an integral part of your health and well-being, and you need to trust it. Pay attention to it. All those other practices will help amp it up. And the last one is to treat yourself, which is that's a day off or a massage or a spa day. Do it. You deserve it. So those are my self-care secrets, my darling Dory.
Wow, and you just made it in. So it went out live stream and everything for all of you tuning in live. And thanks, Tina. What's up next week, next month for you?
because it's October.
Oh, next month I have some guests I'm really excited about. I'm really, really excited to feature Neely Stapleton of the Organized Boutique, who's going to help us with making our blog, making money with our blogs. And at the end of the month, I am featuring another old-time friend, Pat Sendejas from California, who's a feng shui expert. And so she's going to teach us all about feng shui in our home and our offices for mompreneurs for health and wealth. And if you're into that and you want to get your own feng shui type before the show or during the show, you can call in and give us your name and your birth date and your, I think your birth date location, but it's all in the write-up on the air. So I want to do yours too, Dory, so make sure you send that to me so I can send it to her.
Sure, I'd love to. And for those of you now in archive, tomorrow the Sneaky Mom is here, Kaz Winter, and we're going to be talking about autumn activities. And Thursday on the Mompreneur Model, we have the last of the eThink Tank for Mom conference speakers that are coming on to share. And then the following week, I'll be broadcasting down at their conference in Freehold, New Jersey. So jam-packed, you know, stuff coming up on Word of Mom Radio. So, Sina, thanks again for a really fun show. And I really hope, moms, that you take that time to take care of you, because if you don't take care of you, the family just, none of it works. You know, none of it works. So flip that pyramid back where it's supposed to be, put you on the top, and everything else will work really well. So thanks, Sina.
Thank you, Dory.
Loved it as usual. And to all of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here, and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.